Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. We are in the studio with Mike and Diane Fletcher from the Paradise Prayer Group, and we have Curtis Smith as your host, and I'm John Stephenson. And Mike, would you like to say a prayer introduction to this show?
Sure. Father, we give you thanks, Father, for this day, Lord. We give you praise. We honor you today, Lord, and we thank you for this time that we can come together, Lord, and share the love of God. Father, share testimonies of your love to your people, and we pray, Lord, that you ask, we ask you, Lord, for your people to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us each today, and let each and every one receive your love afresh today, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so who wants to tell us a little bit about themselves and the prayer center and how it got started?
I'm getting the nod from my husband,
okay.
So
go ahead.
Maybe I'm on.
Go ahead.
Yeah, in 1981, our marriage was over, and
What do you tell us a little bit about that? What do you mean?
After 13 years of marriage, things were not how I thought they would be, and I wanted more. I tried to do it in my own strength. I didn't know God, didn't know God's ways, and so. I had said, I have had enough.
Mm.
I'll have to go through life on my own with my two children.
Mm.
And there wasn't anything in particular. It's just that what I thought was going to be our marriage, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And I knew there had to be something more, but I didn't know what it was.
Mm.
And so, in that time when my husband was not with me, he was with his brothers and sisters and family. A girlfriend called me up after that I'd been working with, and she said, "I thought you and Mike were supposed to be going camping." And I said, "We were, but we've decided to part ways." Mm. And she said, "Well, you need Jesus Christ in your life." And this is over the phone.
Yeah,
and I'm saying, "Yes, I do." And I had no idea why I was saying it. But I had come to the end of my life, all my energy to make my marriage great.
Mm-hmm.
And so she led me through a sinner's prayer on the phone, and I changed. My heart towards my husband changed in one prayer.
Hmm.
And so I called him up, and I said, "Mike, this is what I've done. I've given my heart to Jesus. I don't know what you're going to do with your life, but this is what I'm doing." And he'd had a Catholic upbringing and got down on his knees at my sister's home where he was staying, and called out to God and said, "God, what do I do?" And he heard this audible voice say, "Go home and be united with your family." And so he calls me back and he said, "I'm coming home." And I said, "Great, that's fine." I knew I had changed because I didn't want to know him before the phone call, before the prayer. And then all of a sudden my heart had changed. And so we decided to go full bore for God. If he could heal our marriage, we'd do whatever he asked us to do.
With Christ, all things are possible.
Amen.
If only God's people would stop complaining and start praying.
Mm-hmm.
We're all guilty of it. Even prayer warriors complain from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And God said to praise him. Mm-hmm. See, I'm learning something, and we're going to talk more about prayer. But we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray. How much praising do we do?
Mm.
How much time do we take just to praise?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, all ye saints.
Mm.
Praise him when things are going wrong, things are going bad. We pray all the time. Mm-hmm. Another thing we do is we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, but we pray. But the Bible just says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So if we have the faith in us and we know who we are in Christ and we stand strong in our relationship with Christ, all we have to do is touch somebody, and by the power of God that's in us, manifested to that person, whole and healed. Mm. But we feel like we have to say a bunch of words in order for it to happen, and it's not necessarily do we have to pray. We just have to, in faith, touch that brother or sister, believe, and they're made whole. Mm. So I think prayer and praise together. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that today. Mm. So folks, be prepared, because we're gonna talk a little bit more about praising and praying. So continue on.
So Mike was mightily touched by God, and we were. Immediately, we were not churchgoers, never went to church, never wanted to go to church, didn't see the need to go to church until God stepped in. Mm-hmm. And so God threw us into a born-again, spirit-filled experience in a church that believed in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit and following the Holy Spirit. And had such an awesome relationship with God. And God spoke to him and said, I want you to go to America. And so in obedience to God, we did all the steps to do that. Miracles happened for doors to open for us to be able to come.
Tell us one or two.
We had taken a youth group and pastored a youth group at our church. And one of the requirements, we'd done that for 2 years, one of the requirements for coming here on a religious visa was that we had to have pastored for 2 years. Mm. And we had no idea that that was part of the requirements, but through listening to God, doing what God told us to do, he had prepared the way, because that was classified as pastoring. Mm. And so that was a miracle. Another miracle to get in here from New Zealand, we had to go to Honolulu. Mm. And that was the entry place to come into America. And Mike had been ill on the plane. I think he was the only one that didn't have a air sickness tablet. And he was whisked off at 6 in the morning in Honolulu to a doctor to make sure he was okay. I was left with 2 teenagers, 14 suitcases, standing before immigration. Mm. And they said, why do you want to come to America? And I said, well, God told us to come. Mm. That was the truth.
Yeah.
And she wrote down on our on our passport, missionaries. So we could come here for 6 months on a normal visa to come in, but then with that one telling the truth, missionary on our passport, we were able to stay for 14 months.
Wow.
Or 15 months, I think it was.
Wow.
Before we had to go back and get a green card to come back into America to live here as a permanent residence. Mm. We're actually resident aliens. That's what it says on our passports.
I'm going to agree with you. We're all aliens passing through. This is not our homeland. We're just here until the Lord calls us home.
Right.
We are aliens passing through. We're God's
That's
children.
Right.
And this is just a temporary home. So our home is in heaven with the Lord, right?
Amen.
Amen. So our Father God, our Papa, has answered a lot of your guys' prayers and has done a lot of great things since you guys have been here since 2000. So why don't we go a little bit more into the story, and then we'll start talking about stuff with the prayer center and stuff.
Sure.
And feel free to chime in, Brother Mike.
Yes, Brother, yes. Mm. So we have just followed the Holy Spirit, done what he's asked us to do, and he has opened doors for us. We've been to other countries from here. We went to Argentina. I've been to Perth, Australia, to my dad's funeral there. We're from New Zealand, but he had relocated. And the neat part is I had said to God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll leave my home, my homeland, and but please save my family.
Mm.
Because Mike and I were both the first in our families to get born again. Mm-hmm. And so we trailblazed, and we said, Lord, we will do whatever you want, but we put our family in your hands. And my mum and my dad got born again before they died.
Mm.
And Mike actually led my dad to the Lord, and it was...
Explain that, Brother Mike.
Yes, it was awesome.
Yeah, you know, Diane's mum had passed away first, right? How many years before your dad? A couple of years?
Three? Yeah, probably about 10.
10 years?
Yeah.
Before your dad?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't think it was that long. But
continue.
So it was his 70th birthday, so he decided he wanted to come over to America to celebrate his 70th birthday with us and his grandkids, and because our children are his first grandchildren.
Mm.
And so he, you know, left all his buddies behind in New Zealand and Australia, and came over here to the States to visit us. And we had, at that stage, we were having a ministry at our home. And
that was here in Paradise?
No,
in Santa Barbara, actually.
Oh, okay.
Carpinteria, just out of Santa Barbara.
Okay.
But we had a home fellowship at that point, so we were all praying for him because we knew he was coming, that he would come to know the Lord. And the Lord gave me a vision of him saying a prayer and sharing the Lord with him and him coming to the Lord. So while he was here with us for his 70th birthday, we went out with him, celebrated with him. And then a couple of days, I think it was about 2 days before he was to leave, I just spoke to him before he went to bed and just shared with him, you know, this is what God's doing, and shared with him, you know, what it is that God wants to touch his life and use him.
Mm-hmm.
And a ticket, remember
yeah,
you shared
a,
that?
A vision was a ticket of...
He got a ticket to come.
Yeah, a near ticket to come to America. And I said, that's what we're all given, a ticket before when we're born. And somewhere in our life, we need to have that ticket punched.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we come to know into the kingdom of God, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere we're given many opportunities to get that ticket punched.
Many.
And I said, Ron, you've been given that opportunity today. And he said, well, I don't understand. So I explained more to him. And I said, you know, it's a relationship with Jesus. It's not being religious. It's been having a best friend in your life, and he loves to travel all over the world. He's a real apostolic. He loves traveling. And so when I shared that with him, and I said, this is what, you know, we just say a simple prayer and ask God and born again, and he comes into our life, and we start our whole different life up afresh. And he said, well, is that easy? And I go, yeah. And he said, okay. So I prayed with him. He gave his heart to Jesus there at the spot before he went to bed. And I said, well, you need to do one more thing before you go to bed, and that's go into the lounge and tell your daughter what you've done. And so he did, and they had a hallelujah breakdown. and that, so he came to know the Lord. But then we watched a video while he was at our place of Jesse DePlantis.
I like him.
Evangelist. Yes, and he's got such a wonderful sense of humor. And Ron loved that. And so he wanted to get a copy of that DVD, so we actually got one sent to him from Australia, because Australia's on the same as New Zealand. And he invited all his friends over to the house and showed these videos of Jesse DePlantis. And here is, these are all his boozy mates, all these drunkards that he's drunk and boozed and partied with for years, and that all turned up to the house. And here they are all watching Jesse DePlantis and that, and receiving the gospel. You know, how many or what happened in that whole session when he did that? But that's what he made his life doing that after that. He just kept on until he passed away.
Four years later.
Even when he passed away with cancer, he was so ill when we talked to him on the phone, and he said, it doesn't matter how sick I feel, I'm going to church this morning because I know that's the place I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't long after that, was it? That
the next day he died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, God was so gracious with him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, how many people he led into the kingdom through those videos? Only God knows, you know. And
anybody that's not saved that sits in front of a Jesse DePlantis video for an hour, if their heart's ready and they're open, I don't think they're going to walk away not receiving Christ, because he's so funny. He'll get you at your heart.
Yeah.
And he knows how to minister.
Yeah.
don't care for everybody along those lines, but I do like Jesse Duplantis.
Yeah.
So let's continue.
Yeah, he's.
Could I just interject something?
Yeah.
My dad had such a religious aspect of God, that God was religious, that he couldn't believe that Jesse Duplantis could be so funny, that God could be so funny in Jesse Duplantis, and that softened his heart. And the other thing that softened his heart was when he came to church in our home. We had a home fellowship in Santa Barbara. We asked him during the service, could we lay hands of blessing on you?
Mm-hmm.
For your birthday, your 70th. Mm-hmm. So everyone gathered round, laid hands on him, and blessed him, and told him good things about himself.
Affirmations
and that sort of thing. And that softened his heart, because he started to weep, because he'd never had that in his life before.
Mm.
And I'm going, wow, God, only you could do that.
Yeah, only God can. God's the one that does that kind of work.
Yeah.
So you guys started this prayer center when?
2000.
2000?
Yeah, 2000.
Here in Paradise?
Yeah.
So you've been here for 16 years?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Praying.
We've had, praying 16
we've had
years.
Kiwis in our backyard for 16 years, and I just found out about you when?
Yeah.
It hasn't been that long ago.
Yeah.
Time has gone by so fast, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
So when you guys took, how'd you guys end up here in Paradise doing the prayer center?
When we had the ministry down in Santa Barbara area in Carpinteria, a little town just out of Santa Barbara, about 15 minutes out. How did it come, the place? Down up to.
There was a conference up here, and the house that we were renting got sold, and God said, pack, store, and go. And that's what we did. And we came up for a conference not knowing what God had in store for us. And we really felt to start a prayer center up here. And
well, I think you may have met him, Curtis, Jerry Bowers. Have you ever, Pastor Jerry Bowers? He was a Seventh-day Adventist pastor in Paradise.
Seventh-day Adventist Church. Heard of him.
Jerry.
Heard
well, Jerry, him. Jerry started helping to start planting the first lot of prayer centers in this region. That I believe that's right. That's correct. And so I just went all around with him and assisted him in doing that. And we started one here in Chico. And Chico was the first one that we were aware of. It was called Shema. And what's the name of the street just off?
It's no longer going.
It's not going now.
Wasn't that the Chico International House of Prayer?
No.
That one originated out of this. That's okay.
It wasn't originally.
Several ways it came through that, several after that. But I just assisted Jerry with that. And then the Lord told me to come alongside Pastor Jerry and assist him in that. And so I did. I shared that with him. And so we ended up getting connected. And since then, further on, jumping down the road, we've been to Israel and started working with relationships in regards to prayer centers in Israel as well. That's further down the road, but that's happened a lot. So we're really connected with Israel. We're in relationship with ministries in Israel even today. We even actually have a relationship with a Kiwi couple from New Zealand, and they are in Haifa. Israel, and they have a ministry called Out of Zion, a website out of Zion, it's called, and they're traveling. They're actually in New Zealand right now, as well. They still minister in New Zealand, and then they minister all over the world. So we have a ministry with them. We're building a relationship and that with them, plus with many of the other prayer rooms that are in Israel as well. So it's gone a long way. If you look back and see how God's done all these things, it just blows you out of the water.
You have a prayer center in Israel?
There's prayer rooms.
That you guys are part of?
We're connected.
Well, we're connected in relationship.
That explains to me why you've gone to Israel several times.
Exactly.
Every time I turn around, I hear, we're going to Israel, we're going to Israel. It's like, what? Yeah. Israel, how many times? I know how many people wish they could go and they can't go, and you guys are consistently going. Yeah. So now I know why.
Yeah, well, Diane and I went back last September together. And the first time we went was in 2005 together, and then we went last year together.
So it hasn't been that many times. So it seemed
well,
like
it has.
No,
for
it
Mike.
Has. I've been five times, and Diane's been twice. And Pastor Jerry, I think he's about up to his about 12 or 13 times now.
Wow.
So, and he's still going, and he's got connected. He actually was just over there at the start of this year and helped establish a Bible school or a school of ministry in Tel Aviv.
Mm.
So he'll be over there back and forward because he was the first teacher for starting off this Bible school over there. But mm-hmm. we're building a whole thing for Israel. We started mm-hmm. a ministry called Israel Covenant.
Israel
came out
Covenant.
Of that through Pastor Jerry. And we wanted to connect to the Messianic churches in there. And that's been a little difficult to do that because it's very, they don't want to share a lot of where they are because mm-hmm. of security reasons and stuff like that. So it's really undercover and that to do that. But you'll get to go to the main ones like, what's it called, Sukkot Hallel
mm-hmm.
In Jerusalem and other ones that are well prominent, but there's a lot that are hidden that we're still trying to find because we're wanting them to come together and communicate more together. But it is happening over there, but not under our thing. We're just trying to make that connection to get in on that as well, just to help them assist them however we can here from the States. So that's how that's been going. But that started off, you know, way back in 2005.
Mm. Oh, with Israel.
Yeah,
oh.
with Israel.
And so what we do on a Friday night, we have intercessors come together, and that's just a big word for prayer people,
people
who have a heart to see God's will done. Mm. And we pray for the Ridge. We pray for Butte County. We pray for California, America, and the hot spots of the world. And at the moment, we've been focusing in on the presidency, praying.
Yes,
for,
we need to.
Yeah, and for Rio, for everyone to be safe there and have a great games. So we just ask God for his heart. What do you want us to pray, God? Because we want his agenda. And so, and then we have praise and worship, then prayer, and then a lot of times we break into groups and we pray together. And then at the end of that, we pray for personal needs of the people that have come to pray. And
because we've found, you know, it's just not about just coming and hanging out together. It has to have a purpose.
Exactly.
And we have people come, and, you know, everyone's got hang-ups, got some things going on in them, and so we don't want them to go home carrying that stuff. So, you know, you were talking about praising and that.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, you know, a prayer meeting can be a whole lot of prayer, as you say, but we make sure we have praise and worship first so we can connect because it gives the people an opportunity to take their focus off their own situations, you know what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Get their own focus off themselves and that and what's happened in the week and everything around them and their family affairs and all the stuff that's gone on and focusing on the Lord and making that connection with the Lord and trusting the Lord that he can do whatever he wants from that point on if we make that right connection.
Do you feel that intercession prayer, and I'm going to ask this question because I just got back from YWAM, and I love YWAM. I thought I was going to be on staff there, but unfortunately, things have not worked out that way. So there's another door that's open, and I'll probably be moving here to Orland with Pastor Jason of the Real Life Church. But God closes one door. He opens another one.
Amen.
But when I was at YWAM, we talked about intercession prayer, and they talked about a book by Joy Dawson talking about the 12 different things or 10 different things to do in order to be an intercessor or to be involved in intercession. Do you feel that formula is necessary? Because I would consider that a formula. Do you feel that formula is necessary in being an intercessor, intercession prayer?
It's probably a very good guide to me, but it's what what's the heart of God in you saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Joy Dawson's
she's
from,
another
she's
Kiwi.
She's a Kiwi. And so, of course, we're not going to put her down.
No.
And we don't have any intentions. She's a wonderful woman of God.
Yeah. Mm.
And I believe it's a good starting point to get on, to get focused on the different areas that you need to focus on, because a lot of people have the idea, you know, well, they've come into it, well, I am an intercessor, and this is knocking intercessors. I love intercessors because they've prayed for us, and they've they're the backbone of it.
Mm-hmm.
You've just had Brenda Dowden in here, and
she's an
Brenda's they're prayer warriors.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a different, if you asked a true intercessor what that meant, they get down on their knees and they cry out to God for what is seriously on the heart of God, and really they fight the fight. Now, and that's good, but then there are others too, and that's one criteria, but the other criteria is just a person that loves Jesus and loves to pray and praying for people and just being honest with God and just saying, hey, I just want to pray for a need that you may have, you know, something's happening in your home, and just sharing from that. So that's another criteria. So there's different aspects in intercessory prayer. When we were at Bible school in New Zealand, they broke us up into groups and that, and I think there was six in our group, and they said, well, you know, you're going to go to this part of the Bible school and get together, and you're going to pray and have intercession prayer. Well, the first question we asked each other when we got in the room was, what is intercession prayer? We didn't even know what it even meant. And we had a mighty woman of God up there in age and that, and she just turned around. Well, I think, you know, she just suggested, I think if we just pray the scriptures, we can't go wrong.
Exactly.
Just pray God's word back to him. Mm. I've heard that can't be wrong with that, right? And we all agreed. And so we started doing that way. And then that gave us a connection to the Father.
Mm.
Just by praying his word back, we started to get his heart on different things. And then our dean of the Bible school said, you know, you realize that with just you six people, if you get the heart of God, you could change the world.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we're going, boy, that's a revelation. So that even motivated us more to get closer and closer to the Lord and to start mainly with intercession. I believe the key is listening to what God's saying. And we're all prone to wanting to get out there and pray things, but how we need to back off a little bit, I believe. I just encourage everybody just to sit back. It's good to sit back at times too and listen to what God's saying, because he wants to answer you. Now, if I'm talking with you now, ask you a question, you would answer me back, because, you know, well, that's how relationship works.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same with the Father, but just because we can't see him, somehow we think that he's not wanting to speak back into our lives. And especially this year, I'd say that God's really been with me personally, saying, you know, I want you to just, I just love spending time with you, and I just want you to listen with me.
Mm.
Talk with me and listen to us, and let us both get closer and closer together. And man, it's helped me grow so much this year, grow so much closer to him. Our relationship has really increased on a more personal level than it ever has, intimate level than it ever has before. And I think that would help. You know, you can, it's very easy for us to get into, what's the word, methodology? Is that a word?
That's what it seems like to me a lot of, is a lot of methodology stuff, a lot of formula stuff. And I just, being a person of grace and understanding grace like I do, I think we can turn prayer into like a works deal.
Yes.
Right.
And we feel like unless we do this and this and this and this and this, God's not going to hear us.
Right.
But we're his children.
No.
And whether we intercede or whether we pray, he does hear us.
Yeah.
Now, intercession, I can see taking time to hear the voice of God, because God does have things he wants to say. He gave us a mouth and two ears so we would listen to him.
Right.
But at the same time, I think some people have turned prayer into a work.
Right.
And they feel like they have to do works in order for God to meet. So that's why I'm trying to...
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Well, this is the scripture, and you just mentioned it, Curtis, that we stand on for the prayer center. It's 1 John 5, 14 and 15. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him.
So that's what scripture?
1 John 5:14 and 15.
Yeah.
So that's what we stand on.
Yeah. Yeah, we can, and as I say, they can, like anything, we can make something and move it into something that, you know, and we get away from, as you say, make it into an area, like you use the word works and that. But we're finding more and more trusting, and I believe as we trust one another in the body of Christ, that when we learn to trust one another and get closer to one another,
mm-hmm.
that allows us to get closer and closer to God.
Mm.
And
that makes sense.
Yeah, and it really does. And that, and I believe because that's a training ground. We're here, and God has us on this earth. And that, and unless we learn to trust one another, and as Brother John said before we started, we're all family, and we're brothers in Christ.
That's
we all
true.
Have a part to play, and
that's
so
true.
No part is more important than the other.
No, you know, I understand.
Yeah, you know, that's basic for us all to learn. But getting, and that's one of the key words that's been coming out is trust me, trust me. You know, I had a word for your team that went to China.
You did.
To Savannah at one point in that, and the Lord spoke and said to Savannah, you've had a whole lot of fears, and she'd admit she has had a whole lot of fears to work through. And that, but if you will just trust God in the situation and what He's saying to you, and believe what He's saying to you, and step out into the new area, God will back you up.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But you've got to step out first.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The part that we have trouble is jumping over that line of fear and stepping into something new. Like you're facing some new challenges now. Mm. Well, what do I do? Sometimes God just expects us to. He just shows you a stepping stone. And you don't see the rest of the stepping stones across the River Jordan. You just see one, and He just says, step out onto that. But I say, well, I don't see the rest. He said, I didn't tell you that. Just step out onto that one,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest will follow. But
yes.
See, it's step by step by step. And
one
we've
step
got a,
at a time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. amen. And it doesn't have to be a huge step. Just be faithful to whatever size step it is that He gives us at the time.
When there's a setback, don't take a step back. Get ready for the comeback.
That's
amen.
Right.
Yes.
So instead
that.
Of stepping back, step
yeah.
out, step in.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's one of the things I think Peter in the Bible dealt with. Was
yes.
He said, God, if it's you, call me to come to you.
Yeah.
Now, if I tell God to do something, He doesn't. I'm not going to say, Lord, is it really you? Take my... But Peter took his eyes off God, and he began to drown.
Yeah, that's right.
I think he had a lot of people in the boat saying, what are you doing? Are you crazy?
That's right.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
And I think he, instead of listening to the voice of the Lord, he put his eyes on the people.
That's right.
Took and listened to their voice. Because there's two voices always talking,
mm-hmm.
sometimes three.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really convinced that there's two voices that primarily talk to us, mm-hmm. our own and God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the devil really needs to talk to us or really needs to speak things to us because we think a lot of things up on our own that
mm-hmm.
is not even of God,
mm-hmm.
and therefore it represents the wrong spirit. And the devil's got, they're doing too many other things, and he can't be at all places at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So God speaks to us, and I think we, with a lot of negative thinking, stinking, doubting, confusion,
mm-hmm.
which we bring on ourselves by things that we watch, things that we listen to, things that we participate in, conversations that we have, I think we're listening to our own voice or the voice of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that takes up the voice of God. Would you guys not agree?
That's
yeah.
so true.
Yeah.
And really, I think to sum it up, what you're saying is, and what we encourage people that come and pray, guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mike and I are really working this year on our own relationship with God, but also in the marriage, in the ministry. We're talking more than we've ever talked.
Amen.
And we're discussing things and getting, you know, unity in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what God's working on us all,
mm-hmm.
is our hearts. And if we want to see God move, then how important it is to be right with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's some things that I don't do this year that I may have done 10 years ago.
Yeah,
right.
But I've allowed the Holy Spirit to check my heart
mm-hmm.
and change my thinking
yeah.
to His thinking.
Yeah. And I think, too, with us, with our ministry, We both are preachers. Diane's a mighty preacher. Mm-hmm. And so she preaches the Word of God too, not just mm-hmm. me. And so I'm not saying we're unique, but a lot of pastors' wives, you know, they're in the background. They do the children's ministry mm-hmm. or other ministries in the back there. And I'm not saying none of those are not important. They're all important, but they're not being out the front preaching on a Sunday and stuff like that. They might never, ever get out. Some of them are afraid to do it, and I believe God's wanting them to show them how important they really are and how part of the team that they are. And so we encourage the others. So we have our ministry, we have a lot more challenges that way because we're both out ministering mm-hmm. together. And so we always are together. It's, you know, wherever we go, Diane is with me most of the time. If you see me, you see her most of the time.
You guys are two Kiwis in a knot. You right. know each other big time.
And people always say, well, where's Diane if they see me? Or if I go to YWAM, you know, to a graduation, where's Diane, you know?
Yeah.
Because we're so always seen. We're a team. We're not separate. We're not doing a different thing.
But like Priscilla and Aquila, I think, a team working together.
And we, you know, and iron sharpens iron. We still have our little things, but always, you know, Diane's been wonderful to challenge us to, you know, hey, this is not the way it should be, and I believe we can make it better.
Yeah, and isn't that what it's about, making it better?
Yeah, it is.
And it's prayer works.
Yeah, definitely.
If it didn't work, you guys wouldn't have been doing it as long as you guys have been doing it.
No.
So you guys are really key on teaching about prayer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you guys a question.
Uh-oh. Holy Spirit, help us.
Yeah. Second Chronicles 7:14 mm-hmm. states, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. It says it clearly in Second Chronicles 7:14. What's the problem?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to be obedient.
Mm-hmm. Why are people not praying? Why are people not interceding? What is so difficult about prayer and intercession, right? Mm-hmm.
Because Satan doesn't want us to pray. So he uses every device to get us off track.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make a decision. Mike and I, we're going to be at prayer on a Friday night. We have in the same prayer room on a Sunday, we have church for those that don't have a church to go to. And we're determined, we're there. And I think I missed one Sunday. Two Sundays ago, because at 5 o'clock in the morning I was throwing up and I just wasn't at a place to be able to go. But we don't give ourselves any excuses not to be at prayer. We don't give ourselves any excuses not to be at church on Sunday.
So you guys have services on Sunday, or do you guys go to...
It's called Resurrection Power Ministries.
Oh, okay.
It's on Sundays.
Okay.
Yeah.
At 9:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys do prayer on Friday nights
at 7 o'clock.
So over the last few months that you guys have been interceding and praying, what have been some of the outcomes or some of the results that you've seen as your guys' prayer and intercession has gone before the Lord? What have been some testimonies?
We're seeing people healed of cancer. We had one young girl come and was diagnosed with cancer. Mm. And then we laid hands on her, prayed, and believed. She went back to the doctor, and she's cancer-free. Mm. And so cancer is such an ugly thing.
Mm-hmm.
That we believe the name of Jesus is higher than cancer. Yes. Some have had prayer that have been diagnosed with cancer, and then they've gone and had an operation and are now cancer-free.
Amen.
And
It should be that way.
Yes, yes. So we're really pushing in for victory over cancer in particular.
I think, and that's nothing by what we're doing. We're standing on God's word, you know. He's given us the victory. And I think, you know, I think to answer one part of your question is that a lot of people, I think, have a struggle to believe what the Word of God says over their circumstances.
Yes.
And so they are not standing on the Word of God. And so they come and it's like they, it's, you know, we're so prone to fast food, a quick fix and it's all over with. But, you know, prayer, sometimes persistent prayer, you have to keep pushing and fighting and believing. So many people, they don't realize they're praying, but they're praying the wrong thing because they're praying the symptoms of what is happening in their body. So they're speaking out of their mouths, oh, I've got this cancer, and I'm feeling sick. And mm-hmm. so they're hearing that and mm-hmm. hearing that and hearing that. And the more you hear it, the more you believe it. So if you change your speech to match what the Word of God says and tells us to do, to stand on His Word, that, you know, by His stripes we are healed, then we may see some different results happening.
And a lot of people that have faith end up talking, they say they have faith, and I hear this, I'm right. not going to name names, I'm not going to go into who, but there's a lot of people who claim they have faith, but yet you don't hear them speaking the Word of God.
No.
Right. You hear them speaking the words in regards to their problems or their situations.
Yes.
They're
right.
not into, you know. And instead of praising God and coming against the enemy, it's like they're coming into agreement with him
right.
instead of against him.
That's right.
So
exactly.
then when things happen, well, so-and-so had this. Well, maybe not necessarily.
No.
And if, now I don't believe that everybody's not healed because of a lack of faith or sin.
Right.
Okay, I think that's a misconception. Right. People say, mm-hmm. well, you weren't healed because of your lack of faith or your sin. Mm. Just saw the movie out no. called Miracles from Heaven, and the church told the lady, your daughter's not being healed because there's some sin in your life. I don't agree with that.
It's mm-hmm. condemnation.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that there's always sin in the life that keeps... God mm-hmm. may not answer prayers for other reasons than the fact that there's sin in your life.
Mm-hmm.
There may be reasons why he may be putting you through it. He may be testing you to see if you really believe him and if you really have the faith. And if you have the faith, you need to gather yourself around people of faith and have them pray. Not just ask anybody to pray for you. Will you pray for me? Well, so-and-so may not even be a prayer person.
Mm-hmm.
They may not even be an intercessor. They may not even know how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
I want people praying for me that have faith and know how to pray,
mm-hmm.
that know how to hear from God. Because
mm-hmm.
God can't speak to me. I know he can speak to somebody else in the prophetic, and I hope to have somebody on here in the next few weeks as a prophet. But God will speak through a prophet to give us a word.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't need to be even looking for prophets. We need to be looking to God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so the Bible says wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst, and he will answer our prayers according to our faith. Mm-hmm. So why don't you just expand a little bit on that?
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't even read the Bible.
Some people have struggles like myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's another ploy of the enemy mm-hmm. to keep us out of the victory.
Mm.
And so I read my Bible every day regardless, but I have to push for it because the phone will go or my husband needs something or something happens.
I wouldn't interrupt you.
No, I know. But, you know, if you have to get out the door. But this word kept my marriage alive as God was healing us both.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being willing to let the word of God work in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I believed a lot of lies. And what we do with people is help them recognize the lie they're believing and put the truth in its place.
Yeah.
And so that brings faith.
Because mm-hmm. I think, you know, you're saying, you know, you can base people, but people say, you know, oh, you know, I believe God does this and that. My thing is that the test of all that is, what is coming out of your mouth?
Exactly. Mm.
If you're saying, you know, well, God's healed me of this and he's healed me of that and he's a great healer, da-da-da-da-da, and then from that point on to the next week time, you never hear him saying, but I'm standing on this word that by God's stripes I am healed and he gives me the victory. I'm believing his word over my situation. That you're speaking forth the truth. But a lot of people have this thing by a fly-by-night understanding of, you know, well, oh, you know, God does this thing. Well, prove it to me by what you're saying and what you're confessing, because they'll say, oh, yeah, but I want you to pray for me. No, that's a cop-out.
Yeah.
God wants to hear what's in your heart. And one of the key things he's been asked is, do you really believe?
Yeah, exactly.
And because if you really believe, you'll be saying the word yeah. of God.
Do you believe?
Not repeating somebody else's testimony. Yeah. You're believing God's doing this for me because I'm believing this word.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember back in Santa Barbara once, a pastor was sharing these testimonies and that, and he was sharing this, but in my spirit was saying, the key is we've got to believe. And one of the keys is this year is the Lord's been saying, trust me. And when we were down with our grandchildren, can we share that testimony? Mm-hmm. We ended up praying for our grandchildren and that, and praying over them. And I had the privilege of leading both my grandchildren, who are now Jesse's
11
and going on to 12 in October, and Charlotte is 8 going on 9 in November. And I had the privilege of leading both of my grandchildren to the Lord at 4 on their 4th birthday.
Praise God.
So they both came to know Jesus on their 4th birthday.
That's awesome.
And so we gave, when we were down there, our son and daughter-in-law moved into a new house just a few months ago, 2 or 3 months.
Yes, they'd be believing for a new house of their own. They were in this 2-bedroom apartment in Santa Barbara, very small, and the children were in the same room, and they asked us at the prayer center, and of course Mike and I, to pray and believe for this house. Every time they went to get a house, they had the money through a loan, but someone would come and be a cash buyer, and it just seemed to be slipping out of their hands. So it took 2.5 years of believing God, and so here they are in their own home, which is all glory to God, but praise God. So we were there to go and bless the home and celebrate, and we gave our granddaughter a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden we found, while we were there for the week, she was reading the Bible 5 times a day.
She loves to read.
Nothing at what we...
9 years? 4 years?
Eight years.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, I wish I would have done that when I was a kid.
Yeah. Me too.
And she just loves reading.
We just read.
But yeah. once we gave her the New Testament, and that, so it was just another book to read to her, but it was about the Lord, and she knew it. And so as she would go to bed at night, she would say to me, "Papa, can we..." And we gave her a picture Bible, just to be brief. We gave her a picture Bible to... a few years ago too, so she corresponded with the picture Bible and the New Testament and the stories, and she'd say, "Papa, let's read this story," and she'd put the two together, match the two books together, and that from it. And so long story short, she said, "Well, when we leave, Papa, what are we going to do?" Because we did this each night before she went to bed. So she said, "I know what we can do, Papa. You call me on the phone each night, and we will." And I have the same Bible at home, and we will go by that Bible. And so that's what we've been doing. And so just up to now, because she's starting school next week, she said, because she's got homework to do, and she said, "But we can do it in the weekend." So she's still each night. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah, she'd get on my case if I don't call her up to read the Bible. And she'd say, "Which one are we going to?" So we'd both get the same story together and read it, and we'd ask and explain it to her, just a few paragraphs, what that meant to her. And she's
hungry,
heavy thinker.
That's
and
awesome.
Everywhere she goes, it's Jesus.
Amen. I gave her a scarf,
mm-hmm.
one of those pretty purple scarves, and it had on it, "I love Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
Well, she wears it to places and talks to people about Jesus.
She went into her mum's bank just the other day, 2 days ago, and then she's wearing the scarf. And then so at the doorway before she goes in, she says to her mama, she said, "Mum, is there anybody that you work with in here that doesn't know Jesus? They're not a believer in Jesus. They're not born again." And she said, "Well, yeah, I would believe so. There could be." And
she just goes with such boldness and tells people about Jesus.
Yeah.
At 2, I gave her a little card that says, "I'm God's princess." And so she went to Trader Joe's and showed every customer in Trader Joe's in Santa Barbara, "I'm God's princess."
Well, the violent take it by force, and we need to go into the throne room boldly. It says, "Come boldly into the throne room."
Amen.
We shouldn't be afraid to approach God. We shouldn't be afraid to talk to God. We shouldn't be afraid to listen to God and hear what He has to say, because a lot of times we think we got the answers, and God's just waiting to give us the answers. He's just like, "If you only would wait on me, I have the answer for you."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
See, I went to China. God provided the funds. I ran into medications when I was in China. Didn't know what to do. They thought they were going to send me home. And the first thing we did was we prayed. And a David, who was our interpreter, knew a David that was a doctor. Now, what kind of a coincidence is that?
Awesome.
David that was an interpreter knew David that was a doctor. David got the hospital on the line. David got me into the hospital. The waiting room was, the visit was quick. The medication here in America would have been expensive. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Medi-Cal and stuff, so that's covered. But $23 China money mm-hmm. is what it, American money in China awesome. Is what it came to. $23 for the visitation. The visitation was quick. It was open on a Sunday. I got everything taken care of, and I got on what I needed to get on until I got back here to the States.
Thank you, Lord.
Seen God answer prayer.
Yes.
God answers prayer. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. The fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Mm-hmm. If we're not seeing prayers answered, then maybe we're not praying. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we're not waiting on God. Mm-hmm. Bible says, wait on me. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And we need to wait on God. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we stop praying. And it doesn't mean you have to keep praying the same thing over and over and over again. Pray and praise. Mm-hmm. Praise and pray.
Yeah.
Put the two together.
Yeah. Amen. No, that's true. It comes out all the time. And like, you know, in the scriptures where in Matthew 26, remember just before Jesus goes to, when he's praying in Gethsemane, he says to him in verse chapter 26, verse 36, he says to his disciples, sit here, we're all familiar with this, while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul exceedingly sorrowful, even to death, stay here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.
Amen.
And he came to the disciples again and found them sleeping. And he said to them, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Exactly.
And I believe that sums it up really well. Many people... they're wanting answers in that, but they're not wanting to come and spend time with the Lord because they think it's out of works and that they have to work at it, as you mentioned earlier before. Instead, it's just a matter of coming and just being totally honest with God, saying, this is where I'm at, God. I'm a basket case. I'm a mess. Well, I'm a screw-up, and many problems are going on.
What I find funny, Pastor Mike, what I find funny is you have a fun night or you have a food day, a barbecue or a picnic,
right?
Or you have a special concert, and you've got tons of people that will come.
True.
But you open the doors for prayer and tell people to come and pray. I know of one church in Northern California, one church, and there might be others, but I know of one. Global, it's actually called The House in Modesto, California. They have between 1,500 to 1,900 people every Monday night. Mm-hmm. Gathering for prayer.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Gathering for prayer.
Yeah.
Somebody said, well, what about football? Mm-hmm. I said, I'm sure there's still people that will still, because football or not, there's people that will give up football for, but then again, there's people that won't give up Sunday service on Super Bowl service
that's,
for church.
That's mm-hmm.
But
right.
when it comes to calling people for prayer, many people don't want to go to prayer.
Well,
why is that?
Well, maybe some of them, when it's a football night, many of them most probably are praying for their team to win. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's why they're all there. They're praying for their team. Let the Vikings win tonight, Lord.
That's
from the Super Bowl for their main team to come in. Maybe that's connected with it. But, you know, there's a balance to it. But we're trying to introduce to people that prayer can be really exciting, because when you go there, you should be seeing results, and we see results. That's why we keep going, because we see people get set free. We see people get healed. We get see people with their prayer problems answered so quickly. And God loves to do that, but he needs us there to participate with him. And so, and it gives, when you're with other believers, like as Brother John said before, when you're gathered together as a family, there's an atmosphere that occurs because of like spirit and like believing to happen, that God loves to just come and just be part of it. And we all believe, and we're not expecting, we're not surprised on what he wants to do. Amen. We just give him a platform. We're saying, God, do whatever you want to do. This place is yours. And he comes in and goes, great. And he participates with us. and people go home and they're mightily blessed and encouraged in Jesus.
They don't want to
They don't want
home.
To leave, which it comes to the point that sometimes, you know, that it gets embarrassing that I haven't got to this point saying go home unless I really know someone that then we're having fun with them. But, you know, it can be, we start at 7 o'clock and we've been there sometimes to 11:30 and people, they just don't want to leave. So the meeting finishes and then they're sharing their hearts. Well, God showed me this tonight and that blesses somebody else. So that's what it all happens. The blessings of God just jumps from one person to another, and that's what it should happen. And everyone goes home and encouraged and blessed and grown
that's the way
in God.
Be.
They're growing in God each time. And that's what God's given them up an opportunity to. Yeah. Like we have prayer tonight at every Friday night at 7 o'clock. And there's a small group of people that come, and they love to come because they see God move.
Well, it was for your guys' prayers that things went the way they went in China. I mean, I wish you guys could have heard from the Northern team about the testimony that happened with the train that almost took off because Brother Mike Griffin lost his ticket. And I don't know if they told you the story or not.
No.
But if it wouldn't have been for prayer and faith, they wouldn't have made the train. But people praying... Things going on, because I say people praying because you guys are praying.
Yes.
Things going on. He was able to get his ticket and get on the train, even though it was very, 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 very close to not being able to do it. But prayer turned things around for Mike and his wife and the people in that team. And they have an interesting story. Maybe you guys, when you see Daniel, say, hey, Daniel, what happened on the Northern team? And hear his story about the train, because it's really interesting. But if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, seek my face. It should be turned from
and
their
pray.
Wicked ways and seek my face. Because I believe there's a lot of people who live wickedly and still try to seek the Lord. No, turn from your wicked ways. Seek his face. Turn from your doings and your dealings. Seek his face. Then will he hear from heaven and heal your land. Well, folks, we're going to kind of close this out. But before we close this out, who wants to pray us out?
Okay, I just have a word before I pray that I got from the Lord this morning. People who pray are the devil's worst nightmare. That's what he spoke to me this morning.
So that shirt that says, I'm the Christian the devil warned you about.
So, Father, we thank you for this awesome privilege of encouraging everyone to pray, everyone to be cheek to cheek with you, God, ear to ear. With you, Father, in that intimate place, because you love us so much. Thank you for your love, Father, for each one, for every listener out there that's listening today. Be encouraged today. Your Daddy God adores you.
Amen.
And he takes into account all of our failures, all of our hang-ups, our hitches, glitches, and he still chooses to love us. So, Lord, we want to thank you today for your love. And, Father, would you pour your love like liquid out on every person as they listen today. And let them be encouraged that you have an awesome plan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, well, folks, we're going to get going. We'll be in touch with you guys next week. We'll have a special guest on the air. And... looking forward to seeing you guys next week. So God bless.